Sort of feel like the sermon's already been preached in that anthem we just had. What better way could we start our day today with using order our steps through the Bible of God's Word? And if you listen to each word in that, which that was the first time I'd ever heard that, it is absolutely true from beginning to end. And I appreciate you all doing that. You did a fine job with that. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you today with many things on our heart, of things that are coming up, things that have just passed, remembrances that we have, concerns that we have. But we just ask, O God, that right now that you would help us to cast that aside for a few moments, that you would open us up so that the Holy Spirit can speak through me to you, and that you might then feel worthy of applying that this week as you go out into the world. Thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. And these and all things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, when I volunteered to do this, it seems like it was a long ways away. And here it is. I want to thank you for being here today. Each one of you are special to me. I want to thank my family for being here and supportive of me. I want to thank some of my friends for coming today and being supportive of me. And I want to thank you as members for being here in support of me today. Because I need support. And it's through your prayers and considerations and through God's work that I'm able to stand here today. My sermon is entitled, Where is Your Tomorrow? So if you just sort of keep that in the back of your mind as we go through the scripture reading, which is found in Romans 5, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the mercy in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And our hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out with our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. May God bless the reading of His Word. Those few lines of Scripture tell us a lot. And it starts out by saying that we are justified by faith. Justified by faith. Now that's true if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. Then you are justified by faith. If you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, it condemns you until the point that you do accept Him. And as we read further, it says, we have obtained our introduction by faith into grace. What a glorious thing that is that through faith and through Christ coming and living here on this earth, of freely giving His life to us as sinful people, has He provided a way for us to have eternal salvation with Him. And we do that through the faith that He has given us. We stand and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And then it says, not only this, but we also exalt our tribulations. How can that be? That we can be happy, we can be exalt those tribulations that we as human beings have all the time. whether that be personal struggles, health, family, just all of the tribulations that come as being human. How can we be exalted, or you be exalted, in that? And it points out further, it doesn't just stop there, thank God. It points out further that through those tribulations brings about perseverance. So these trials and tribulations that we go through teach us how to persevere in this life that we live here on this earth, so that we can be stronger, not only physically, but spiritually, mainly spiritually. And through perseverance, proven character. Why would that be? Why are we being strengthened through our faults and our tribulations so that we can persevere and then have character? Did we not have character before? We did. But through God, that character should be a different character. And we should be then a light, because we have been through struggles that other people either have been through or are going through or might go through, so that they can see that there is hope. And then not only that, but through proven character, we have hope. That's one of those four-letter words that's a good word. That's one of those we need to remember, is we have hope. And our hope does not disappoint. So many things in life are disappointment, aren't they? We go down this road, or we choose this situation, whatever it is, and as we traverse that a little further, we find that's not exactly what I wanted. Or maybe even we feel like that's not really what God wants me to be doing. And we get disappointed. And maybe we turn about and we go this road a little ways. And we get disappointed again. But we have hope. We have hope. And it's because of the love of God that He has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that He has freely given to each of us as Christians. I want to skip over to verse 8. I didn't read that earlier, but let's look at that. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for you and for me. And the Scriptures tells us that when Christ died on the cross, He knew all of us. Before we were even here, thousands and millions and trillions of individual people. But He also did it as an individual. He died for each of us. He died for all of us, but He died for each of us. That just cannot be comprehended. But it's a beautiful thing to think about. And then through Christ, we can, in the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, we can sort of get just a little grasp of what a gift that is. It was and it is. Now, after thinking about that a little bit, I want you to bring it back to personal. I want you to think about yourself. And I want you to think about, where are you in your walk with Christ today? This is sort of a self-evaluation, okay? I'm not going to take this up. You don't have to raise your hands. But I want you to think about that. Are you where God wants you to be? Or are you where you want to be? Hopefully that would be the same. But only you and God know the answer to that. Then I'm going to ask you to delve in just a little bit deeper. Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied with where you are right now? I personally would have to say no. Should we ever be satisfied with where we are? And as Christians, we should even be bolder than that of saying, I know that God has something greater this next minute than I have now. And so we are striving through the Holy Spirit to be more Christ-like the next minute than we are right now. And if we're not doing that, then we should not be satisfied, because I believe God's not satisfied either. So hopefully we have allowed the Holy Spirit to indwell within us this morning. So I'm going to ask you, is God speaking to you right now? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to come forward. But I'm just going to ask you that question. Is God speaking to you right now? Is He revealing things to you, maybe of what you've done in the past? Is He revealing things to you of what you need to do today? Is He revealing to you what the future holds? Now, it's been my experience, He's not going to lay out the whole plan, but He will lay out the next step. And we as Christians, through that hope that we just talked about, and that testing, and that building of character, that we have enough faith to take that next step, knowing that God will lead us through. You know as well as I do that through our life, doors have closed. But yet I've also come to the realization that when a door is closed, that God will open another door. It may not be as fast as you want it, or as that may not be the door that you want to go through, but Christ will open that next door, and then the next door, and then the next door, and then the next thing you know, our earthly life has ended and we have gone home to be with Him. So what is God telling you to do right now? Is it to sit still and wait? If so, you're on the wrong channel. You need to redial something in, because God is not a God of sit and wait. God is a God of action. If you're hearing the message of sit and wait, that's the devil speaking to you. But if you're getting a message of what do I need to do, or Lord, tell me what I need to do to carry your message to the lost world. His message to each of us is to get up and go. Not right now. You don't have to get up and go right now. But His message is to get up and go. And to go spread the good news. You know where that is? I can't answer that for you. I have trouble answering that for me. But God will reveal that to you if you will only listen. And like I've shared this with you before, through the schooling that I've been through and the trainings that I've been through at work and the experiences that I've had up to this point, I've had all kinds of classes and lectures and handouts on speaking. I've never had one on listening. I think it's a lost art. But our world is listening. It wants us to listen. And we need to be available to listen. Before I retired from a county agent, many times I'd get a call and I'd go visit the farmer, and I was expecting a problem that they needed to help, you know, find what the answer was so that they could overcome some difficulty on their farm. Many times, they just wanted to talk to somebody. They wanted somebody that would listen to them. And so that the time that I would spend with them was probably more valuable of just having someone to talk to and someone to listen to them, more than any of the knowledge that I could have pulled out of a book somewhere to have helped solve the so-called problem that they'd call me for. And I found that to be pretty well true in life as well. If we let people know that we truly care, they want to share with us their situations. And then that will give us an opportunity to share the gospel with them. God wants us to get up and go. Page 2. Now I want us to think for just a few minutes about the lost. Are we really concerned about those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior and who are damned to hell without Christ? You know, that's really serious. Are we really concerned about the lost? The world would tell us, be concerned about yourself. Sometimes they teach us, well, be concerned about your family and those that are near and dear to you. But the Scripture tells us, and this is hard to believe, be concerned for your enemies. Now, if it tells us to be concerned about our enemies, we should also have to fill in the blanks in the middle of all those people that are in between. So we're supposed to be concerned about all people. How do we show that? First of all is eye contact. That's another lost art today. People never look at other people unless they're special to them or they have something in common with them. When you're at the grocery store, do you make eye contact with people? When you're, you know, walking down the street, do you make eye contact with people? Most people don't. And I found that if you make eye contact with people, that you won't know until they look at you. They might be looking to you, and if you never make eye contact, you've lost it. But first, you've got to make eye contact. And then a lot of times, God will start a conversation with you and that individual. They'll ask you a question. They'll ask how you're doing. You know, when you're filling up your car with gas or, you know, stop to get a bottle of water or whatever it might be. Make eye contact with people. You will be surprised, and probably I know many of you already do this, of how that opens doors, of how that opens hearts, of how that starts the conversation or allows a conversation to start. And then have a smile on your face. Who wants to talk to somebody who has a frown? Have a smile on your face. Reflect the love of God wherever you are. Now, I have to confess, I'm speaking to myself as well as I'm speaking to you today. I found that God is teaching me a lesson, and then when I have an opportunity to speak, I try to give that same lesson so that I can share it with you. So that's the lesson I've been getting this week. Did you invite anybody to church today? I know some of you did. Did you talk to anybody about church or salvation or God or about love or about caring? You know, we as Christians have the greatest news that there is. And yet, we're one of the quietest groups of people in the world. Shame on us that we have the greatest news and we're not willing to share it. Why is that? You know, whenever we have a new baby in the family, we plaster it everywhere, don't we? Anybody know anything about that? Whenever we have a marriage coming up, we tell everybody about that. That's good news. Whenever we get out of the hospital and our health is improving, we tell everybody about that. It's good news. And yet we know the love of Jesus Christ, and we keep it close. We want to nurture it. It's mine. Like a little baby. We just want to cuddle it and hold it. But that's not what God says to do. Get up and go. Get up and tell. Don't sit and wait. This is good news, folks. It is great news. Do those people driving by our church today even know we're in here? Do they care? Probably not. We've got to be church, not only in here, but when we're out there. As a matter of fact, it's more important to be church out there than it is in here. Because it's easy to be church in here, but it's hard to be church out there. So each of us, it says the Holy Spirit, as we've accepted Christ, will come and dwell within us. And that we're a holy temple. And so therefore, anywhere we go, we're a holy temple, and we should reflect the love of God. And if we're hiding those talents that God has given us and that light that God has given us under a basket, that's wrong. There's no doubt about that. We need to let our light shine. Better yet, we need to let the light of Christ reflect off of us. we really have no light. Christ is the light. If we dim it down, if we confuse it with what is politically correct or what is socially acceptable, then our light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. We need to be bold. He calls us to be bold for Him. He doesn't call us to be timid. If we look back in the Scriptures, the prophets that we have, the disciples that we have, the characters that are listed in the Bible are bold people. Maybe they didn't want to do what God called them to do. Maybe they ran away for a while. Have we done that? Yes. But at Pentecost, things changed. And Christ predicted, He told us this was going to happen. And so at Pentecost, those who were followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit came and overcame them. And they were different people. We are different people. We are not the same, so therefore we should not act the same. We are not of this world anymore. We are of another world. But you know, we have a job to do. The Great Commission was to go and tell the good news. It wasn't to sit and wait. Go and tell the good news wherever we're going, whenever we're going. Right now I have a niece that's overseas on a mission trip. God has called her to do short-term ministries, and I believe this is her second one. And I am so proud of her for taking that initiative. And her husband has gone with her this time. And that's a bold step, isn't it? That's not a sit and wait. That's a get up and go. Now, He doesn't call all of us to go to a foreign country. He might. He can. But He calls all of us to minister where we are, wherever that might be. He doesn't call us to sit and wait. He doesn't tell us it's someone else's job. Let the pastor go. They'll read it in the paper. There's Bibles everywhere. The Gideons have them in motels. So everybody knows about God, right? Everybody know about, or might know about God, but they don't know God. We was discussing in Sunday school class this morning, other countries are sending missionaries here now. What does that say about us? We have failed. We have fallen short of the mission that Christ has given us. We have departed from His ways. We have not carried the torch that He has given us. I'm just not talking about each individual here. I'm talking about all Christians. But we have to take responsibility for that as well. Okay, we're going to pause for just a minute. And if you have not accepted Christ, I want to tell you, that will be the most important decision that you will ever make. And it's an eternal decision. It's not a short-term thing. It's not, well, this will do me till next week. But this is a forever. How many forevers do we get? I also want to tell you, if you decide not to follow Christ or accept Him as your Savior, that's eternal too. Until you accept Him as Christ. And your eternal decision then will be to separate from Christ which the Bible tells us that you will be descended into hell. And I'm not saying that as a scare tactic. I'm saying it because it's true and it's in the Bible. So if you haven't accepted Christ, you need to do that today. Don't put it off. And that goes back to the sermon of my topic of where is your tomorrow. And I'll get to that here in the next half hour. If you are a Christian, and I hope most of us in here are, then don't put off the decision to spread the good news. It's really not a choice that we have. It was a command that Christ gave to us individually, each and every Christian. It's not an option. Share the gospel. Souls await your decision. Have you ever thought about that? Every person has a soul. And the scripture tells us that those that accept Christ, that their souls, through the blood that He shed, will go to heaven. Those souls that do not accept Christ have eternal damnation. Our job is to see that they hear the good news. It's their choice to make. We can't make them accept Christ. If we do, it's no good. We can't accept Christ for someone else. It's sort of like a horse. You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. But you can make them thirsty enough, they'll want to drink. So as Christians, we need to make those that don't know Christ thirsty enough for the living water that they'll want to come unto Him. Wow, time gets away. Where is your tomorrow? Have you ever thought about that? It probably doesn't even make sense. But sometimes I don't. You know, we had a yesterday, and we might think about, well, what did we do yesterday? We probably start clicking off the things that we did or that we had planned to do that we didn't get done or that we just didn't want to do. But that's in the past. We can't have yesterday again. It's gone. There's impacts from yesterday, but it's gone. We have today. It's right now. What are we going to do with today? So those decisions we talked about, that needs to be done today, right now. Am I going to accept Christ or not? Am I going to spread the good news or not? Don't sit on the fence. Don't be wishy-washy. Be either yes or no. The Bible tells us He'd rather it be yes or no than lukewarm, which we would say would be in the middle. When it really gets down to it, there is no tomorrow. When we get ready for it, and we even stay up and wait for tomorrow to come. And you know what? Once it gets here, what is it? It's today. So there is no tomorrow. But so many times we say, well, I'll just wait and do this tomorrow. The Scripture tells us there is no promise of tomorrow. So the decision is vital. The decision is immediate. The decision is life-changing. What are you going to do with today? Don't put it off till tomorrow. Because you don't know, you won't get it. When it gets here, it'll be today. It's always something out in front. And that's what the world teaches us today. Always think about the carrot that's out in front. What can I do tomorrow? Or we get to thinking about, I'll just put that off till tomorrow. And then that tomorrow comes, that today comes, and we'll just say, I'll put it off till tomorrow. And before long, it just never gets done. And so that's the way it can be with salvation. We just keep putting it off. We know that that's what God wants us to do. We know that's what those that love us want us to do. But we just keep putting it off. Same thing with, you know, spreading the gospel. We have got to make that decision. Don't be lukewarm. Don't accept the gift that God has given us and then keep it. It needs to be shared. We are commanded to share that gift that God has given us. Where are you in your walk with God today? I want you to think about that for a minute. If you need to make a decision, don't put it off. It needs to be done today. If you are letting the Holy Spirit talk to you this morning, He's revealing to you what He would like for you to do, what He wants you to do, really what He commands you to do. Are you willing to accept that? Or if you don't know Christ, He's telling you, now's the time to do that. So if you need to do that today, please come forward and do that. You don't have to come forward, but the Bible tells us that we need to publicly proclaim that there is a change in us. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll have our invocation. What's that word? Whatever that song is. Invitation. Yeah, I knew it was something fine. And if you need to come forward, do that. Several deacons will be available to share with you. If you just want to come and pray, that's fine as well. But please be open to what the Holy Spirit is telling you today. So let us bow in prayer. Dear God, we thank You for this scripture that You've sent us today. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your promise. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your hope that You have given us. We thank You for the opportunities that You give us each day. And help us to make the decisions that we can be bold for You, that we can reflect Your light brightly in this dark and dreary world. We ask that You would be with us and bless us, that You would give us courage, that You would lift us up, that You would be with those that are sick and bereaved, that You would just show love to us so that in such a great way that we can show it to other people that are around us. And these and all things we ask in Christ's name.